Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith with Hard Liquor. I didn't crack a
this
thing.
This is the podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies. And this week we are talking about something I'm pretty excited about. It's Akashic Records.
Oh, yes. I've heard of these.
Akashic Records. Akashic?
Yeah, something like that. Akashic.
Akashic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a way, it's a spinoff of our last episode, strangely enough, where we talked about six-fingered
red-haired giants.
Yeah. So it all ties together eventually.
Yeah, it's all connected, right? Always? Every time, probably.
I needed to cough for quite a while.
Oh, yeah? You're holding it in?
Or I needed to drink something, but I was waiting to start the episode and crack
that. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Hazy IPA. Mm. So how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm getting ready to head out of town. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Massachusetts. Yeah,
going down to where?
Massachusetts. Going to the Solid Sound Festival, so that'll be fun.
You going to Salem, Massachusetts?
No, it's North Adams.
How far from Salem is
it? I don't know. By broom or by car?
as a witch flies.
Yeah, straight. Sometimes crooked. Depends on how witchy she is.
Yeah. You should check out Salem. Maybe we should do a show up.
Yeah, I bet they got ghosts and cats. I'd be down. Let's spend the night in a haunted something.
We got cats.
I'm in. That's all it takes.
I'm excited about our topic today. And if you're not on the Patreon, you probably should be because it's great.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And we had a great episode recently about a very mysterious death in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited because I enjoyed last episode so much talking about the six-fingered giants that I kept reading more about it, which led me to today's topic, strangely enough. And I'm glad that we could talk about it. Not at all a statement about him being
right,
a giant.
He's a big dude.
We're glad to have with us a friend of the pod, very funny comedian from Raleigh, North Carolina, Tyler Wood. Welcome to the podcast, Tyler.
On behalf of the Giants, thank you for welcoming me. I come in peace, and I am happy to be here.
Are you familiar with the race of six-fingered giants that show up all through history?
I have not a clue. I myself am a five-fingered giant, but my cousins, I assume they've been up to no good.
Well, Goliath, David Goliath was a six-fingered redhead giant.
Goliath was a red-haired, fair-skinned, six-fingered giant, and that description meets a number of people. In China, they've discovered some mummies in China that were giants with red hair, blue eyes, and they're between 6 and 6.5 feet tall, which I think was a giant.
Yeah, that was huge, right?
That was
Most
huge.
Most people are like my height.
They're probably huge now in China.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, what's the average height in China these days?
I don't know.
Not a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if you throw out the shortest in the Yao Ming, it's probably like 5'4", 5'5".
Yeah, I'm pretty average over there. I'm 5'6". Or maybe I'm tall.
Yeah.
That would feel good.
Have you been there? I would be interested to see someone like you go there and just how that your perception of space and things changed.
What if China's got the confidence I need? You just needed to feel a little
so tall, but so stupid. We covered this in extensia last episode. We talked all about this archaeological site in Chaco Canyon, and we talked about ancient Peruvians and Mayans, and we went all over the world trying to get to the bottom of this. And as I said at the top, I started reading more about it because I was like, this is really fascinating. And it brought me to a very odd description of a 6-foot-tall, blue-eyed, dark hair, six-fingered giant named Muzuin, who traveled to the Gobi Desert from the lost Pacific continent of Lemuria in 9026 BC. This being had six fingers and toes, which they attributed to supernatural androgynous deities and their offspring. Mm. A trait that according to this reading was eventually abandoned for the five-fingered Homo sapiens that we know today. But that six-fingered trait, according to this description, was a descendant of the Lemurians, which we've talked about Lemuria, Tyler, in the past. Lemuria was the
Are they the Nordic aliens?
they are the East Coast Atlanteans, West Coast. The Lemurians and the Atlanteans didn't get along very well. They were the two ancient, highly technological civilizations.
Much like the East Coast, West Coast battle of the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. That's right,
I'm sure that was a joke that was said on the previous episode.
Now, what's most interesting about this description is not what it says, it's who said it. It was a reading from the greatest prophet in American history, Edgar
the sleeping giant, the sleeping prophet.
Any familiarity with Edgar Casey, Tyler?
I have none.
This is great. Awesome. Edgar Casey was the preeminent clairvoyant, certainly of his day and probably of all time, and at least in American history. He is also, in many ways, considered the godfather of the New Age movement. He was born, I think, in Kentucky, somewhere in like 1845. And he lived a pretty long life, like deep into the 20th century. He discovered at a very early age that he had some supernatural powers. He was not a great student. And his teacher had kind of shamed him about his schoolwork. And so he came home and his father continued to berate him and began quizzing him relentlessly.
Oh, brutal pop quiz, hot shot.
About his spelling bee. Yeah, I know. I'm on the dad's side so far, because he's just drilling him about his spelling words, which I have had to do with all my
flashcards.
And eventually, Edgar Casey can't get anything right. So the dad just slaps him as hard as he can and just throws him out of his chair, which I don't agree with that.
No.
I'm with him up until then. Well, I got slapped around.
Did he start learning the words?
He did. Sometimes slaps work.
Well, it's interesting, because here's what happened is, while he's lying there, either unconscious or pretending to be, he hears and sees a woman in his mind who's got wings, presumably an angel. And she tells them that if you go to sleep, we can help you.
It could have been a Victoria's Secret model. Those when the years they kept wearing wings.
I forgot about those.
Who knows? We'll go with your theory, but I think just know that there's another option. May not be an angel.
Well, what he does, like any logical kid, is he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go to sleep with my head on my spelling book. And when he awoke, not only did he know all of his spelling words, he could recite any page of the book verbatim. You'd just be like, what's on page 32? And he could just tell you exactly every word that was on page 32.
Crazy.
Like, he just absorbed it all thanks to the help of these witches or angels, whatever you want to call them.
Who knows? Whatever side you're fighting
that
for.
That is a huge distinction there.
I mean, I don't know. You know, his father comes back and, you know, he's like, I know all the answers now. And his dad's like, prove it. And he's like, give me any page. And he's like this. And his dad, of course, was like, you knew this all along. You've been wasting my time. So he knocks.
Dang, he got slapped twice.
Again.
The good and bad.
Yeah, it's like,
it.
You can't win with this dad. That's how those dads are. You can't ever please them. But this was the first time that he realized that he had powers when he slept. So he began learning. He would not read books. He would sleep on books. And he would wake up knowing everything in the book.
You would think that like the best way to learn your spelling words would be to go to sleep on a Ouija board.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because then you could spell them out. And
what? Then your head's just spelling them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever do a Ouija board?
I haven't had a real paranormal experience. From what I've heard, Ouija boards kind of welcome that could be negative energy into your house. So I err on the side of caution that I do not want to do one. I've never done one, and I do not want to.
Yeah, it can happen.
You can welcome it into someone else's house.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, you want to do Ouija board at your house?
Yeah. Like someone you don't like. Hey, let's bury the hatchet, John, with this Ouija board.
I thought we were fighting, but he came over. We did Ouija. It's been great.
Well, I've talked about it already, but I had a good Ouija experience years ago. So, yeah, I kind of buy into him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I also I've read enough things, and we certainly have an episode coming up soon that has really changed my mind on some of this stuff. Okay. But in the case of Edgar Cayce, this sleeping pattern became the telltale signs of how he could become clairvoyant. He eventually got laryngitis so bad that he couldn't speak, and he went to a hypnotist. I think it was real common in the early 20th century, like 1901. Mm-hmm. I think they really thought hypnotism could cure you.
Oh yeah.
So they would go in and they would hypnotize you. He could speak while under hypnosis in this trance, but when he came out of it, he couldn't speak. And so essentially he was like, I have to cure myself while I'm asleep. And that's what he did, is he would go into this hypnosis dreamlike state. He would devise the ailment. He would propose a cure for it. The cure would work, and he would come out of it and he would be healed. Now I should also point out, in 1901, I think this could also have just been a huge scam.
Sure, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think
I ate this granola and it saved my life. Who likes granola? $5 a box, which is a year's salary.
Right. I think he just showed up to a town with a couple plants in the audience, you know? Maybe you came through, maybe it's someone you knew.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Tyler and I had worked together once on a coal train or something, and I knew where he lived. He's a pretty good actor. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to come through town. You start acting like your knee's been bothering. When I show up, I'll give you some tonic and you walk straight. I think you sold a lot. You cut Tyler a little royalty check.
Yeah, I just imagine Tyler doing a backflip. Like, he wasn't able to walk for a month leading up to this thing. And then he does a backflip and people shit themselves. And they buy it all.
I mean, don't you think there are a lot of grifts? Like, that was a pretty easy grift. I don't think people are less susceptible today.
Right. No, not at all. Right.
I think not at all. I just think there were less sources of information then.
Right.
And there probably was a sweet spot where fact checking was pretty reliable. And now it's crossed that. It's jumped that shark. We're now. You got to fact check the fact checkers at this point. So now I think people are, maybe they're more gullible now.
We're also speaking in a time back then where it was cutting edge science that somebody was like, hey, maybe we should clean these saws before we amputate somebody else's arm. Weird.
Oh, right. Yeah. Rinsing a wound was considered. Whoa, what are you crazy?
That's what the leeches are for. Take it easy.
Yeah. Don't bring that clean water. That'll
kill leeches. Steve, you're up.
Yeah. Well, so he learns that he can cure himself, and that leads to his first gift, which is essentially that people could come to him sick. He would go into this sleep-like hypnosis state. He would diagnose their ailment and prescribe cures that worked with remarkable
and that he frequency. Did not get a kickback from. He wasn't like a GSK or Pfizer rep.
Yeah, that I was gonna mention that next, is that before you say, well, this sounds like a huge scam, he was a devout Christian, self-described devout Christian. And he saw what he had as a gift from God and a calling, and so he consistently refused money. Consistently.
Right.
He made his living as a photographer, and he invented board games.
Oh, fun.
He invented a couple board games that sound pretty fun. They were almost like Catan of the early 20th century, where they mimicked the stock market or it mimicked trading and stuff. And he came out of these games and he got royalty checks and he was able to live. And then he practiced this and he became world famous for his prophecies. Because not only did he start healing people, when he was in these trances, he would have visions and he would have prophecies. And he would come out of them sometimes during them and sometimes out of them. And they would write them down. His wife and eventually his daughter.
His wife was like, I'm tired of writing this. So you do this so much, honey. Can I not write tonight?
Yeah.
To get the daughter to do it.
Yeah. It's a tough thing if you just marry a guy. Like, I didn't marry a prophet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not the man I married.
Right. It's like you get married and then you start doing comedy. They're like, I didn't sign up for any of this when I met you.
My wife is. She's I don't want to hear your new bit.
You are not funny when I met you. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it.
I wish you were clairvoyant and I had to record the ghost.
I know, right? Because I love longhand.
He was. People came from all over the world, really famous people who believed that he was actually clairvoyant. And you know, enough people had success that, you know, from his healing methodology that he just decided, like, people thought he was real and he could actually heal them. But he also made stunning predictions about the world to people. And over 14,000 prophecies in his life, all of which were numbered and cataloged eventually. He eventually, just before I get to his prophecies and our topic, he eventually moved to, I think, Virginia Beach and founded like a center for transcendental meditation and thought. It's still open to this day. It's pretty famous. And all of his stuff is there. And
that's why Virginia Beach is so cool.
Yeah, so you can go there and you can learn his methodologies and you too. He thought the power that he had was available to just about anyone who was willing to learn. So they sell full on courses for this.
I wonder. I was going to say, circling back to the like cleansing of the ailments and solving all that. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that was like the very first like excursion into the placebo effect.
Oh yeah,
because that's absolutely proven. Right. Like if somebody believes that they're going to get better.
About that recently,
yeah, for sure.
I wonder how much of it was just him tricking people into thinking, oh, well, obviously not. My spinal cord injury is gone, right, but like you know, some inflammation goes away.
Right. If you think it's going to go away. Also, like time is a great healer of things, you know? So it's like, you know, my daughter sprained her ankle or twisted it recently. And I said, this is going to take a few days and you'll feel better. You know, just walk and feel better. But if I also said, put a piece of clover in your cheek and rest for 2 days and then say a prayer and then, you know, like
it still work.
It's like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And you're like, like, I think a lot of it is time. Probably ice is involved, cold is involved, but maybe camouflaged. Not to say like you need to put ice on this, but like you need to go out on a winter's day with no shoes.
Oh, yeah. More poetic. You know?
Yeah, something like that, right? Or heat, right?
Allow your body to bake in the sun.
You're rinsing some lake, you know? Like, yeah, like. It's like those guys, you know, you ever hear about those guys that were like bleaching their buttholes?
I heard of ladies doing it. I'm sure guys
read
do
about
it.
I lived it.
He lived it.
But you know what I'm saying? They would like go out in the sun and like expose their rectums and like it was like, and they thought it was really
healing,
really helping. It turned out it was really bad. But these photos were great of these guys just out in the, you know, out in Sedona.
Nice, just getting just it.
Cooking the old tank.
What do? You grab a piece of duct tape and stick to each cheek with a string that leads to a nail to spread it and hold it?
I think you just pull it back. You got to pull them apart.
But then you got hand marks.
You don't do it for long.
Oh,
you
don't do I don't it know. For
long. Shane, you're not tanning your ass cheeks or bleaching your butthole.
Butthole.
Oh, yeah. I was going the wrong direction with that.
You know, like where people say stick it where the sun don't shine, and you're like, nowhere on my body like that.
Not at all. Nope.
Can't do that. Everywhere the sun shines everywhere. But that was the theory, is that you needed sunlight.
You're supposed to stare into the sun with your one eye.
Yeah,
your brown eye.
Red eye. He made some stunning predictions that many people point to, of like, that's pretty crazy. So here's one that he made in 1935. See if you can guess what he's talking about. The activities that have already begun have assumed such proportions that there is to be the attempt upon the part of groups to penalize or to make for the associations of groups to carry on same. This will be the taking of sides, as it were, by various groups or countries or governments. This will be indicated by the Austrians, Germans, and later the Japanese joining in their influence, unseen and gradually growing to those affairs where there must become, as it were, almost direct opposition to that which has been the theme of the Nazis. These will gradually make for growing animosities, and if they are active in the affairs of nations, the whole world, as it were, will be set on fire by these groups. So he in 1935 predicted
Vietnam.
The Austrians, Germans, and Japan would ally and lead to essentially a conflict of war.
That's
pretty good.
But he already Yes, I think that is good. But I also know that World War One had happened, and people kind of followed what was happening.
You also predicted World War One before it happened.
Well, wars keep happening. And if you follow the breadcrumbs, you know what you do? You realize what's going to happen.
See, this is a problem with you, man. No, what could the guy possibly say?
No, there's good stuff he says. But
no, you're the guy. Somebody comes back from the future and it's just like, I'm telling you guys, there's going to be a massive climate. Yeah, like, yeah, everybody says
It's always ends
climate's
up.
Climate's always changing. It's cyclical. Yeah. There's nothing man can do about it.
We can accelerate it.
Yeah. No. So he was around when the Nazis were around, right?
He died in like 19. He lived like 70.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
He lived a while.
The Nazi party was the party.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility that he just like saw the writing on the wall like that doesn't look too good.
Right.
The Japanese part is a nice touch.
It is.
Though.
That's a good one.
Like that is a little nice detail that kind of solidifies.
Yeah, 35 Japan was, I mean, I think they were barely the empire of Japan. Right. Maybe. They were not a world power in 1930. I don't know. Maybe they were.
I don't know anything about history.
I think people that study history know. And if they're listening, they're like, these guys are.
Alex Hofford was a history. He would have said, here's the facts, Jack.
Well, how about during one reading, 1927, Casey foresaw future medical advancement that might make diagnosis of medical problems possible from a drop of blood.
Theranos.
Which at the time would have been considered complete science fiction. Okay. But he predicted that a single drop of blood will be able to tell us everything we need to know about a person's state of health in the future.
Okay.
I'd like to know his hit rate.
Yeah.
Because you said he had 14,000.
Five.
And
five out of 14,000 from what I could tell.
I mean, not too bad.
A lot of his prophecies were very personal. Yeah, right. Like a lot of his prophecies about important events were in a personal way. Like he told someone, and I thought I wrote it down, but maybe I didn't. A guy came into him and he was like, I prophesy that you're going to make a lot of money, but beware of 1929 and store your money safely and prepare for a crash of the economy. Right. So that became known as like his prediction of the stock market crash, but it was given to a single guy. So of the 14,000, most of them just don't involve world events. They're just like, hey, Tyler, you're going to get booked soon.
Oh, so this is like world stuff was what he did for himself. So like it's saying you're an artist. I just drawings for me.
All of his he never prophesized, as far as I can tell, he never prophesized for like, I'm going to make a prophecy the world needs to hear. It was, I'd like you to do my reading. I'd like you to like, tell me what's going on. And you would come in and he would do that for free. He never charged people. And people would report back that it was astoundingly
just
accurate.
Kink.
Same thing they do with.
I like to lay here.
Some of the people on TV now, right? Like, isn't this Jonathan Edwards? Isn't that
his
name?
Oh, yeah. I think.
Not the senator.
No, the psychic.
Guy.
John Edwards, psychic.
The psychic John.
Or Sister Cleo.
It would be awesome if they were both. Yeah. If we were like, that guy's so psychic, he should be senator. He'll know what to vote for.
Have you guys ever gone to a psychic for a reading?
I have.
I've done a tarot card reading, I think.
I did a reading, and it was real phony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could tell.
So, I don't remember. I did it just to sort of like see, you know. Was it
off the side of a highway? Was it one of those?
Yeah, like driving. There's like not an interstate, but like driving down the highway. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'd go check this out. It's $20 for a reading. And so right before it started, she was like, without thinking, tell me three people that you're thinking of. And I was like, then she just made it all about them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a psychic reading. She just, forced me to answer a question on the spot and then weaved a story around that. You know, I think that's most of what it probably is for most of them.
Some are just better at it.
Reading people quickly, discerning what they're upset about, and then keeping them coming back.
I bet we could do a fake psychic booth. Just no experience. We just hop in there and just try to pretend. And film it, reality TV.
You know what, Tyler? I went to a comedy show recently, like in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And that comic had a tarot card reader at the show, and you could pay for a reading. And I did it just because no one was doing it, and I felt bad.
I'm surprised people wouldn't do it.
That's how they get most of their work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did a reading for me, and she was okay. I think good tarot card readers tell a story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I've never done anything like that, but if you're a believer in some of that stuff, tarot cards kind of lay out one of the possibilities. So it's like very open-ended. I've done it before, but it's been in a similar situation where it's like I was at a Comic-Con one time and some girl was sitting outside like late at night, like, do you want a tarot card reading? And I was like, sure. And she's like, things might be going well, they might not. And I'm like, tell me about it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. I'm a comic.
Yeah.
But I've been with you. I've been a little more interested lately in just like I've had my paranormal interest peaked again. Like I go in cycles with this, and I've been thinking about, I was driving through some small town recently on a way to a gig, and I saw like psychic, you know, like in a strip mall. It's got just assigned psychic. And I was like, if I had the time, I'd drop in there. If it's like 20, 30 bucks, why not?
Yeah. It's good for a comic story, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cause on the off chance that they are, I do think they are, I'm not closed off to the idea of psychics being real. Right. Like I've heard enough stories of people that have had meetings with psychics and things, like they would tell them things before they could even speak. Mm-hmm. And it's either they've done the research, maybe it's, you know, been finagled a little bit, but on the off chance it hasn't been, it's more fun to think that things like that are true. And I'm open to the idea of the paranormal. There's too many people that have been seeing too many things that don't make any sense. I'm open to it all.
I'm open to legit psychics for real. Yeah, I think people can do that.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't think that the plethora of fake or monetarily driven psychics rules out the possibility of real psychic experience by anybody, but also people that are prone to it, or the ability that people that have a predilection towards it, who can also hone it through careful training and repetition, right? And it might be a mixture of just really being hyper observant, but it might be something that, like, I mean, empathy is a fascinating idea, right? I mean, the idea that like you can feel what someone else is feeling, and, you know, without even knowing what they're going through. I mean, there are people that experience that. I mean,
Oh, empathy?
During all my wife.
You said empathy? This is we're comics. What is this?
Yeah. I mean, when my wife was pregnant, I had, I forget what it's called. You basically get some husbands.
Phantom contraction.
Pain, yeah. You got pregnant.
Yeah. You have, you have, you know, empathy symptoms, right?
Like you throw up in the morning.
You dilate.
You get morning sickness. You feel things that they
Bagels
feel.
Peanut butter, like, you want it.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, a couple more by Edgar Casey before we get into the heart of the matter. Pole shift. He said, someone asked him what great change or the beginning of what change, if any, is to take place. And he said in the year 2000 to 2001 AD, there's a shifting of the poles, or a new cycle begins. This is August 11th, 1936. He made that prediction. Now, it was in the year 2000 that Nova came out with a big special claiming that they had just discovered that the poles, the polar structure of the Earth, had indeed flipped at one point. And it became known, which is, and Casey saw this as the beginning of a new age, which in some sense it was, because, you know, 2000, everyone thought it was going to be the new millennia. But it's a little bit precognizant to think that the poles will shift. And at least that was discovered in 2000.
Yeah. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah. So. He spoke at length about the Dead Sea Scrolls and about things in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which had not been discovered until later on in his life. And then the one that I think most people at least know about is he saw during one of his trances the lost city of Atlantis, and they buried all of their secrets in a hall of records under the Sphinx and that that hall, that the Hall of Records would be discovered in the end of the 20th century. Now, that has not been discovered. And in fact, one of his devotees, one of who later became a scholar of ancient Egypt, spent most of his career looking for the Hall of Records and has never found it, but he hasn't ruled it out either. There is some structure that they don't understand inside of the Sphinx. Whether it holds the secret to the lost city of Atlantis is still to be determined. But that is one of the most famous things that he talked about.
There are chambers in the Sphinx that they...
There are like chambers in the Sphinx out. That they don't... Yeah, they... There's a question of whether it's worth trying to get to them because they think they probably would destroy the Sphinx.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
But also, you got to break a piggy bank to get those bars out.
Got to crack some eggs to make an omelet.
I say go
for it. Yeah, because the Sphinx isn't even, it's not, Egypt didn't build those. The Egypt's peoples, you know, they didn't build that thing.
It's already missing.
It's a monolith. Did you know that? It was cut from a single piece of limestone.
Really?
Where'd that come from?
It was in the desert. They quarried it out, and they were like, "Oh, this is one giant piece of rock." Wow. And they're like, "Let's carve it into something."
Oh, how about a cat?
Well, apparently the head's not.
It makes no sense.
Was the original head?
Yeah, but then again, Tyler, what do you think? Mount Rushmore, is that going to make sense in the next a million years from now?
Forget that. The Statue of Liberty, that's going to make even less sense.
Yeah, I mean, who are these four guys? They're probably their gods. You know?
Yeah, they probably were
their gods.
I also want to take a detour back to the switching of the poles thing.
Mm, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very, very true. Very true. Very bizarre.
Something that I was thinking about is maybe the angels or whoever he was communicating with, maybe they only sensed that happened then because of the collective conscience of everybody on the earth becoming aware of it.
Oh yeah.
And that's what left the timestamp that they were able to
interesting.
Draw from. Because I do think there's some credence to, like, you get people together and the collective energy of a lot of people
leads to something. Man. It does.
Absolutely. Yeah. You give mob mentalities and
But I think it does. We've talked about that before. We think that, like, actually just a couple episodes ago, we talked about just if everyone just put their attention and intention into thinking about making something different, it would change.
Yeah, much like if there are any Dragon Ball Z fans out there, when everybody lended all their energy to Goku for the giant spirit bomb.
Right, exactly.
No, we have cool listeners.
Yeah, they know what that is.
Our listeners are cool.
They know.
I don't know what. I kind of know what you're talking about. But let me say this: you're actually quite astute here, Tyler, with your idea, because what you described is really very similar to what Edgar Cayce and his disciples. I don't mean disciples in like a religious sense, people that just followed his ideas and but what they believed and what he thought he was tapping into for all of these prophecies was known as the Akashic Records. And it is in fact a library of information that contains the details of your soul and its entire journey unbound from the confines of time, space, and physical body. So the records span past lives, present incarnations, future possibilities, and it in some sense is a permanent record of all thoughts, feelings, and actions that have ever occurred in the history of the universe, stored, as Cayce described it, in a kind of cosmic memory bank that exists outside of physical reality. And so he believed in this record and that he could access it through this sort of sleep paralysis that he could experience and then somehow control and pull up information on the
and it records everything.
What do they call the out of body experience you have?
Astral projection.
Astral projection, yes.
Absolutely. That is a correct thread.
Very similar to astral projection.
Love it. Would you guys ever dabble in astral projection?
I have.
Yeah. Yes. I'm dying to do DMT, man. I'm dying to do.
Be careful. Be careful is the only thing I'll tell you because...
Go on.
From what I've heard, there's a chance that when you astral project, you're leaving your body open. So your soul's gone and like exploring things, and it'll hopefully,
it's like Aang when he's in the Avatar state.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I think
when you come back, your body could be occupied by something.
I think
else.
That's really rare, though. I think that's like,
so don't astral project and do a Ouija board.
Right.
In the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same.
I think on the astral projection subreddit, I think people ask that question quite a bit, and they're like, I think they're always like, I think it's possible to happen, but I don't think it happens often. Or there's something else about it, because I've heard of that, but there's some reason they poo-pooed it, but I don't remember the reason. And those are, of course, people that I'm sure actually do the things they talk about.
How have you thought about experimenting with it? Do you have anybody that's done it before, and they're kind of gonna like guide you?
Well, without jumping the gun too much, you know that the CIA did a long project
remote viewing.
Astral projection. Yeah, they tried to see if they could actually train people to do astral projection, which comes up a little bit later in our topic. Not so much the astral projection part, but it is akin to it. It's a different, a similar program that was going on at the same time by the CIA related to all of this. I think, you know, there's plenty of books and things out there. I'm working right now on lucid dreaming. I'm working real hard on my lucid dreaming. If I can get that down, maybe I try astral projection.
Dude, just go. So there's a 3-part series that they mention on the astral projection subreddit called The Phase. And it's a guy that teaches people how to leave their body. It says, leave your body in 3 days or something like that, whatever. But I watched the first half and then just went to bed. I was supposed to watch the whole thing and I just didn't. I just watched the first half. I made it to the point right before you astral project. There's like a come up that follows like body vibration, these crazy feelings, had all of it happen. Just by watching this video for like 30 minutes. So look into that, The Phase. I'll link it in the show notes. But
I think a lot of things that are paranormal can be manifested.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, through meditation. Sure. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I sometimes wonder, and I mean, and this speaks to a lot of things, if it's not that many people believe we live in a subjective reality, meaning that the objective world is actually shaped by our minds. And so if you believe in this paranormal thing, then you will experience that paranormal thing. And we talked about this recently in what's called the nocebo effect, which is a very interesting corollary to the placebo effect, which is that you can, if you think something will harm you or do nothing, it will do nothing or will not. If you think something will not work, it will not work. Or if you think you're going to get hurt, you will get hurt by something. The mind can actually control, and the way the placebo effect works, it can control lots of things. It can control reality because it's a subjective world we live in. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's true or not, the premise of the Akashic Record is that all of those thoughts, feelings, experiences, all your lives, everything is contained in some otherworldly catalog, so to speak, the memory bank. It's an ancient topic. I mean, it's as old as Sanskrit. The ether, as the term Akasa, it means the ether. And it's been accessible as a field in many different ways throughout history. And it shows up in all sorts of ancient literature. And then in the 19th century, the Theosophist became sort of a common thing that was sort of spoken about it in these sort of New Age type folks. What's interesting to me now, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, this is all cool and all, this is what I find interesting. I read an article. And I'll read you the abstract first, and then I'll give you the salacious title, because the abstract is less.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'll give you the title first. The title is Hacking the Akashic Records, the Next Domain for Intelligence Operations. And the abstract is, this paper outlines a hypothetical six-dimension doctrine for military intelligence gathering in the Akashic Domain. And it explains what the Akashic Domains are, how it's been used in the past, and essentially why. And then the article talks about, I read the whole thing.
Awesome.
It talks about why and how necessary it is for our military intelligence to begin defending the Akashic Record from attacks and hacks. Almost like they analogize it to the cloud. that it exists in the way that information exists in a cloud, and that it needs to be secured from attack because it can be.
For them to know that, wouldn't they have access to the records and see that an attack is coming and they're trying to change the future?
Well, yes, but we know that since 1983, when the CIA began declassifying various programs related to paranormal, that their report, the analysis and assessment of the gateway process, that was exactly what the CIA was trying to do, was understand and expand the notion of human consciousness, out-of-body experiments, and altered states of mind. And essentially, the U.S. government was trying to figure out, can we train people to hack the records? And the answer is yes, you can. And they laid out in the gateway system a way for the human body, the human being, to access, and through an altered state of mind and consciousness, the Akashic records.
Okay, I have a quick question. So you said sixth dimension. I've watched a somewhat well-produced YouTube video on trying to explain to me what the fourth dimension is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I got a loose, very, very loose understanding of it. Can you lay down in any way any type of description of the fifth and sixth dimensions?
There's actually 12 dimensions or more. And there is another great YouTube video that describes them all in great detail and how they interact. So I'll post that in the show notes. But Justin, do you know? I usually don't know these things.
The way I understand all of this is that someone said once that the way that a shadow is the two-dimensional reflection of a 3D object, but that's how all dimensions work. That the third dimension is the shadow of a fourth dimension without time.
So it's a fractal. It's a big fractal.
And the fourth dimension is the shadow of the fifth dimension. So do I understand it? No. Does that help me conceptualize it? That there is the one thing that is all things, and from there that's the infinite dimensional object, and from there it projects and it slowly disintegrates down into a single dimension, but it's just the shadow of each. Is that you? And I think the sixth dimension, which I don't know why that guy said that, hypothetical sixth dimension doctrine. No, I don't understand it at all. I don't get it at all. I don't think. No,
I don't know.
How can you have a hypothetical sixth dimension? You can't.
Yeah, I don't know.
As far as I'm concerned, our cloud is a fourth or fifth dimension.
Oh,
I can't see it.
Yeah,
I can't conceptualize it.
We have four dimensions, which are the three dimensions we associate with the physical body, plus a fourth dimension that's time. Right?
I don't know if I fully believe that time is the fourth dimension. I've heard that posited, but even if it is, maybe we're perceiving it, but we can't.
What is the fifth dimension then?
Oh, dude, I'm out on that.
It's a soul band.
I think it was right? Isn't it some... Fuck am I? Man, this is what I don't like, man. We're not a science podcast.
We don't know this shit.
I'm trying to talk about how to that we'll turn your body into a transmitter. That's what the gateway system is. I'm not even kidding. It's so freaking weird, dude, man.
And the gateway experience is the ways that I've been trying to astral project.
It's the same thing.
Robert Monroe's gateway experience.
So
I believe in all this, but I'm so fucking scared that it's true that I don't want to try
it. No, it's good stuff. It's fun. You can be a superhero.
Okay, so I think it's similar to like a six-year-old thinking that a race car is really cool. Yeah. I wouldn't let a six-year-old drive it.
Right, yeah, true. Yeah, don't let me in that library. Gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure that the father figures out there are looking daddy material this June. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature Lawnmower 4.0, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke. Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. Manscaped is designed with fathers in mind, and the Performance Package 4.0 is here just in time for your pop special day. Inside this package, he'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all his goodies. First off, let me start by saying the Lawnmower 4.0 will be the official MVP of Father's Day. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, also has a 400K LED spotlight that he needs for a more precise shave. Does your dad use the same trimmer for his body and his face? Let's throw that out the window and give him an upgrade he deserves. But wait, there's more. Manscaped just launched their brand new Boxers 2.0 that I dare say are the best boxers ever. We all know dads love their comfort. With summer just around the corner, the Boxers 2.0 are here to save every father from the uncomfortable heat. These new boxers are packed with revolutionary features, including the Jewel Pouch, designed to cradle his boys in their own special space. And this right here is a game changer. Whether he's mowing the lawn, taking out the trash, or golfing in the sun, these moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat. Dads, buy this for yourself. Sons, buy this for you and your dad. Ladies, buy this for your man. And dog daddies, you deserve this treat too. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code CBM20. Shake what your mama gave you? Nah, shake what your daddy gave you.
Let me tell you what the gateway process is. And when I lay it out, I think it's like, that sounds pretty scientific. And it was derived at by scientific methodology. So what they do is they have this audio, and it essentially is like a meditative audio to get the mind into a very meditative state. And I think that's important because a lot of times when we hear people who've experienced what I think is astral projection or something akin to it, it's a lot of times from meditative practices, right? Right. A lot of people talk about that. So it's sort of like you get into this meditative state, and then the subjects, their internal resonance to the body's sound frequencies becomes heightened, like, which is true of meditation. You become very aware of your pulse and your heartbeat and all these things. Okay. This eliminates the bifurcation echo. And that eventually that through that meditation, you get the body into a sleep-like state. And the result is that, this is a quote, the result is a rhythmic sine wave that in turn amplifies the sound volume of the heart three times. This then amplifies the frequency of the brain output. The film surrounding the brain, the dura, and the fluid between that film and the skull eventually begin to move up and down by 0.005 and 0.001 millimeters. The body, based on its own micro motion, then functions as a tuned vibrational system. The entire body eventually transfers energy at between 6.8 and 7.5 hertz, which matches the Earth's own energy. The resulting wavelengths are long, about 40,000 kilometers, which also happens to be the perimeter of the planet. And this field essentially allows you access to the world's electrostatic field that surrounds all of it.
Can this be tested? This seems like something that can be scientifically tested.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole institute.
Yeah. I mean, that what I just read, I mean, that sounds like there's a part where you're essentially, the way our brains work, there's this hemisphere nature to our brain. We have two hemispheres, and it's essentially attuning those so they don't work against one another, so that it allows the brain to sort of energize in a different way, to sync the I think it's called hemi-syncing.
Hemi-sync. Yeah.
And then you tune into this wavelength, and I think your body becomes sort of like almost like a radio that, like, you're like, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I have access to,
I hear the record.
I'm like, yes. Yeah. I can hear the records. And, you know, to pull it back to Edgar Cayce, was Edgar Cayce somehow, because his father knocked him in the fucking head as a kid and caused some kind of mental thing to happen in his brain and he went to sleep in the sleep-like trance, was he able in that moment to accidentally stumble upon what the CIA spent decades researching and coming up with a scientific method to allow people to do, which is to access some sort of strange record that flows around our Earth in some cloud-like way? I mean, it's not, I mean, is it plausible? No. Is it thinkable? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm not going to, yeah, if somebody says, yeah, cool. If it comes out tomorrow and they're like, yeah, that's actually all true, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's crazy. I'm going to be like, yeah, that seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just too many people with experiences with their past lives, too many people that, I mean, I dreamt about someone the other day that I swear to you, I have never met in my entire life, a detailed dream and conversations. And they were leading me to places and showing me things that I needed to remember. And I'm like, I have never seen this person before in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, where did they exist? Write it down? Where did they come from? Mm-hmm. There's so many of those experiences in life that people have seen the future or seen the past or experienced these things. Mm-hmm. It's like that reality has to exist somewhere, if only in your mind. And if that is, can that mind somehow be connected to something greater?
Yeah.
That's to me. And that's why I think that is kind of hokey at times that Casey seems, then I get to hear and I'm like, well, maybe he was experiencing something real in the presence of somebody else. Maybe he could see their entire life free from the confines of a physical body.
There's a lot of stuff like this where, like, you think about that and it's like it could be explained away of like, oh, he had a concussion, he saw a hallucination, but then it goes into he had some premonitions that came true. And part of me, when I think about things like this, I absolutely am open to the idea of it being real, because I like, not just like humans, when they're in a creepy place, they might be more likely to see a shadow or what they think is an apparition. Yeah. That might be your brain playing tricks on you. It might not, who knows. But I was reading a Reddit thread recently, the most forefront, you know, authority on the internet of true things. But there were so many people that had the same experience of a loved one who wasn't dead, but they experienced them coming home, like going through the whole routine of throwing their keys on the counter or petting the dog or whatever. And they heard it and then they saw the person, and you'd have multiple people in the house see them.
Oh, wow.
And then you had like several people in the thread all talking about this, like, oh, me and my mom, we could have sworn that we heard my dad come home, threw the keys on the counter, kicked his boots off, started taking a shower, went to check on him later, wasn't home yet.
Damn.
And then he'd come home like an hour later, and then somebody was like, oh yeah, the Vikings had a word for this. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, it's your spirit arriving home before you do.
Oh, wow.
And it can't, and I was at my girlfriend's work. Her work had like a cookout for some, like a group of the social committee, whatever the hell that is. And I got into, because I've been interested in paranormal stuff again recently. I've been going through my little phase. And I mentioned like ghosts and aliens. There's another guy there. I was having a constructive discussion with him because he's seen a UFO.
Oh, wow.
And I've never had a full paranormal experience. I've had like one that might have been a ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But this guy was like, oh, yeah, I saw a UFO one time. You know, it took a direct right turn and it defied physics. Crazy. And it went off and did its thing up in the air. I'm talking to him, and this other guy goes, oh yeah. And he like chimes in, you know, that guy that's always, oh, I don't, you idiot. Yeah, let me tell you what a paranormal experience is. And he's like, you know, most ghosts, carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh yeah. It's true.
Oh yeah. Of course. That's why they see so many on Civil War battlegrounds and all of these other places.
Carbon monoxide these houses. And Civil War battlegrounds.
No, no. But people hallucinate when they have carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, I do think that's true.
Yeah.
But he was just so flippant and dismissive of this. That was very frustrating.
A regular Mick West.
Absolutely. You know, I do think that if you come into a paranormal experience with the idea that, like, everything that's paranormal can be explained by known science, then you will eventually accept the most believable scientific explanation, despite whether or not it has major flaws or can't explain certain situations, you'll change it from ghosts are just carbon monoxide to most ghosts are just carbon monoxide.
Right.
And then people like your guy are just like, yeah, ghosts are mostly just carbon monoxide. And you're like, okay, right? Like, I don't think that everyone that's had a paranormal encounter with this Akashic record wasn't a scam artist. Just like we said, right. I don't think that every person on the side of the road with a tarot card sign in their, you know, their window is legitimate. That doesn't explain to me the entire breadth of these experiences. And in fact, and I would say the government spent lots and lots of money trying to determine if they could essentially come up with a systematic way to access this. And, you know, somebody pay me enough money and I will tune my body to 6.8 and 7.5 hertz.
Yeah.
And drop some DMT and come back and tell you what I find.
Well, dude, here's the trick. You do that and you come back and you realize, oh, I got paid millions of dollars to do that.
Yeah.
Money doesn't mean anything.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. You're like, yeah, all I want to do is go back.
I'll be dead honest with both of you guys. Part of the reason I'm afraid to explore some of this is because I'm afraid I've only seen the movie once. So I might be messing up the metaphor. I'm afraid to red pill myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because part of it's I'm afraid to like this. I barely have a grasp on this life.
Right. Yeah.
Now.
I don't need
and
more
I'm
shit.
I'm afraid. Yeah. I'm afraid to figure out that there are aliens and not only aliens, but aliens that are able to access other dimensions and travel through time. Right. And turns out they're actually humans that are here visiting from another time.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
Yeah, because we've all seen that guy.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect you.
What do you mean?
How so?
Like, if there's aliens around us, they're not messing with us.
They might
right, but you can't change it.
So it's like, yeah, whatever.
I'm upping the chance they're going to mess with me if I fully attune myself to meditating and manifesting.
This is true.
They're going to go, found there him. He's vibrating.
Yep, I see him.
Yeah, it's they're messing with us all the time.
Yeah.
But then once you can see them, then they're like, well, we'll just mess with the guy that can see us. That's way more fun.
Which is what people in Congress were fighting back against on this UFO stuff or the UAP stuff, because they think that if you give these things attention, then it becomes real.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But to be honest with as much as they're disarming nukes, I'm like, I'm kind of on their side most of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to keep the monkeys from blowing themselves up with dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Or nukes.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated both by Casey himself and this crazy idea that they're... I, in a way, it's such a spiritual, religious concept to say that I do believe there is something more than the physical world that we live in. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm prepared to face it at my death. And I probably, if somebody told me this is a pretty safe, I don't know what safe means. Safe to me, I think, means I eventually at some point in my life get to come back to my house and live the same way I was living before I left. But if like your point, Tyler, is like, yeah, maybe you come back and you can't see the world again the same way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... Yeah,
I think once you go down the paranormal rabbit hole and you honestly, I guess for lack of a better term, give your soul or, you know, non-physical being up to it and you open yourself up to the chance of it, you can't go back. And I think it's the same thing that a lot of people feel when they have their first paranormal experience, whether that's seeing a UFO, an extraterrestrial, what they perceive as an extraterrestrial, or an apparition, or Bigfoot, or what have you, in any of this paranormal stuff. As soon as you open that door, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, you should read The Department of Truth. It's a good comic that a friend of mine gave me, and it like breaks down all this stuff with tulpas and how basically you manifest these things. And it's pretty interesting. It's a good read.
Somehow when you said apparition in my head, I heard aboriginal, and I was like, I don't think that's...
Yeah, you can't say that anymore. That's not cool. That has nothing
Native
to do
Australian.
With the topic, Tyler. Jeez.
I think I really kind of gave my final thought. My final thought is that I think the Gateway Project is a codification of what Edgar Casey figured out on his own. Mm-hmm. Through trauma.
Well, his dad helped.
Yeah. And that there have been over time people that have been able to do this, you know, just intuitively because of one thing or another. But I think the Gateway Project, I think it with time and practice, and I think there's probably certain people that have the brain structure that really kind of makes it easier, that it can be done and people can access this astral plane or these records that, and you know, that essentially make up the eternal part of this universe that we don't really understand. So
yeah,
that's my final thought. Okay. Shane, what do you got?
I believe in this record. I wanna tap in. I think that we've discussed this on some of the more recent episodes about how you know, premonitions and things like that, that has to come from somewhere. So I think that we're pulling it from somewhere, the ether. And if this is a fractal, it's I think our realities are just the universe's game of telephone, and each reality is just slightly different because it's just a little off. I don't know. I like to believe in this, and I hope one day, maybe tonight, if I can sleep with a book under my head. Is it above or below?
I think
as above, so below.
Oh, that's it. So I put a book on both sides of my head. The same book. I think I have
same book.
Two.
You got a book sandwich.
I got two Harry Potters. I got this.
One has to be in Latin.
Oh shit! Damn.
Man,
I'll get through it. But I think I'm gonna get smarter by tomorrow.
And woke up, and the book was full of hair.
Crazy.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's my final.
All right, Tyler. What do you think, Tyler? You got any?
So as I told you guys, I am a bit afraid. I am extremely fascinated, but at the same time, I'm terrified of this because as we've made advancements over the last 2000 plus to 3000, 4000, I'm not a great history guy, but however long history's been recorded, it seems like the amount of time in between huge scientific breakthroughs have been less and less and less and less.
Yeah.
And we've kind of cracked the smallest possible down to the atom, and we've cracked the biggest possible up to theoretical physics with wormholes and black holes, and we're starting to wrap our minds around that. And we've kind of maxed out the 3D or 4D world as we understand it. So like that next threshold is 5D, 6D. It's something that we can't even fathom.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to cross a plane. The same way that a 2D object can't really fathom what a 3D object is, I hope we're close to fathoming what 5D, 6D is, and I think that this record could be on the other side of that veil, and yeah. I'm open to it. The same way that somebody in the 1800s couldn't fathom microbes being the reason that people get infections and die.
Right.
Right.
I am open to the idea that there is a record being held of what my body was doing before I got here and what it projects I'm going to be doing after I leave. Because
Well, I got to look at it, and you need to stop jerking off.
Dude, never, never.
The record, it's all on record, is what I'm saying.
And it's hard for me to fathom what was going on in the universe before the Big Bang. Like, everybody agrees there was a Big Bang, and like, everything came from nothing, and you start questioning atheists and people that believe that nothing the paranormal, and they cannot place what's going on before that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a cop out.
Mm. Yeah.
There's got to be some paranormal. Yeah. There's got to be some, some woo out there.
The more we peer into the deep crevices of the universe, or even the solar system, the more we realize none of it makes any sense. You know, I think you're probably right that there's probably some seismic shift coming soon. And whether that happens in the form of a scientific discovery, or if it's a parascience, or if it's a spiritual discovery where people are like, oh, okay, that stuff could be real, or maybe we are living in a matrix or something like that. It's going to be interesting, man.
Yeah.
Well, this was a very fun topic to talk about, and I think we visit this topic in various ways. It just pops up so much, so certainly not the last time. But Tyler, thank you for joining us. Before we get out of here, where can people find you, follow you? I mean, like comedy absolutely. Wise, not
yeah,
yeah. What's your address?
Not because you're a giant. They want to.
No, I was going to give my ethereal address.
Your metaverse address.
I'll be hanging out at Sagittarius tonight if you guys want to come hang out.
Yeah.
So my website, tylerwwood.com, I'm trying to update that with tour dates. Also, at Tyler W. Wood on Twitter, at Tyler W. Wood Comedy on Instagram. And also, I'm going to be opening for a comic I'm a huge fan of, Ryan Singer. I'm going to be opening for him.
Oh, yeah.
When is that? Let me look at my calendar. That is Memorial Day, Monday, May 30th.
Durham, right?
Very excited for that.
Yeah.
It is in Durham. It's at Motorco.
Yeah.
And in the off chance anybody here is a wrestling fan, I'm also on a wrestling podcast called Ten Bell Pod, kind of marrying the two. We cover wrestling, former professional wrestlers that have passed away. Wow. They've crossed over that plane and they understand what's going on. Not so much on the paranormal side, but we cover their biographies and the history of their careers. And I'm very happy to be a part of that. And that's at Ten Bell Pod on all social media platforms.
So what you're saying is none of those wrestlers have been or will be guests.
No.
Okay.
Unless we get a Ouija board.
That's right. There it is. There's your show. People get Patreon for that.
Well, this has been super fun, guys. Thanks for joining us, Tyler. It's been a blast. We'll be back next week. This is Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Tyler Woods. Peace.